today and Sunday, we'll be addressing the questions that many people have as they investigate Jesus, particularly questions that are unfolded before us in his death. Who is this Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as people call him? You know, it's often when a person is in a time of trial that we see their real character. We see what sort of metal they're made of, what sort of person they really are. Today, we've just heard the account of Jesus' suffering and death. We've seen Jesus under intense pressure. What sort of person is he? What sort of character do we see? Well, we see a real person, firstly. In the garden, before he is arrested, Jesus is not relaxed. He's not joking with his friends. He's not casually looking towards this death, knowing that his resurrection is just around the corner. No, he's in anguish. His sweat is like drops of blood falling to the ground. So great is his pain as he contemplates what is about to come. This is no light and easy thing for Jesus. Death never is. It is deeply painful. We also see in his responses how real he is. He's arrested and questioned by a string of people, the Sanhedrin, by Pilate, by Herod. And what we meet in that questioning is a real and reasonable and sane person. That's also something that's extraordinary about him. We'll see that in a moment. On the cross, he expresses his complete dependence on God. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The people witnessing Jesus as he goes through all of this see a man, a real man, suffering, but suffering very well. Jesus, you see, is no fictional cut-out character. He is a real person with real responses who is facing a real and terrible death. But he's also an extraordinary person. Under these extraordinary pressures, as I said, he is together and sane and reason. He's been betrayed by his friend. He's suffered injustice at the hands of the elders. He's been abused by the guards. He has been mocked by Herod and his guards. He's been crucified. He's been abandoned by his closest friends. And yet he is alert, aware, understanding. There is no self-pity in him. He's truthful. He's careful. He's calm. He's gentle. He's dignified. He's wise. He is so impressive. And he's innocent. No fault can be found in him. Even under the pressure, he does not fail. He stands before Pilate, and Pilate asks him directly, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He says, "Yes, it is as you say." And yet Pilate says, "I find no basis for a charge against him." Whatever kingship Jesus has, it is not a kingship which is going to challenge Pilate or Rome at a certain military level, human level. Jesus is a king in some other sense, and Pilate senses that. When he breathes his last, such has been the testimony of his character, that the centurion standing at the foot of the cross says, surely this was a righteous man. There is no bitterness or hatred in him. In chapter 23, verse 34, in what I think is one of the most impressive moments, he prays, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He's pleading with God to not hold this terrible, terrible crime against them, even his enemies who put him there on the cross. What astonishing grace, what amazing love do we see here at this moment. And he is the Son of God. Pilate asks him, are you the King of the Jews? And when, a little bit earlier than that, when the council of elders, the Sanhedrin, together with the chief priests and teachers of the law, had asked him whether he was the Son of God, Jesus confesses, yes, I am. Sometimes to us today, we read that as if he's saying, I am divine, which is true, but from the Old Testament, the expression Son of God referred also to the king that David promised would one day come. You can track that down in places like 2 Samuel 7 and elsewhere. Jesus is this king that God has chosen and brought for his people. And so in going back to that incident in chapter 22, verse 67, they say, if you are the Christ, tell us. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. They all asked, are you then the Son of God? He replied, you are right in saying I am. He is that king. He is the one appointed. But more than that, in him is the way to paradise. There are two thieves crucified, one on each side of Jesus. One of them abuses and mocks Jesus. In verse 39, he says, aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us along with you. The other criminal, the other thief, however, is humble enough to realise the reality of his situation. He says to that first criminal, don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. They are the guilty ones. They deserve to be hanging there on that cross. But not Jesus. He's innocent. He has done nothing wrong. And in a word that expresses his profound grasp of who Jesus really is, that second criminal says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Yes, Jesus is hanging on the cross. Death is soon to come, but so is his kingdom. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus has the power to grant this man who turns in this moment, his last few moments of life here in this world, who turns to trust in him, he grants this man a place in heaven. That's all paradise means. Jesus has the authority, an authority only God himself has, to grant forgiveness. And of course, we ought to notice that he doesn't say to the man that he has to go through any special rituals. He doesn't need to go down and be baptized or go through any other special ceremonies or say any special words. He doesn't need to engage in a religious life. Just as he is there on the cross, he is promised and assured of his place in heaven. So in conclusion, I want to ask, what will you do with Jesus? The person we meet here is real and yet extraordinary. He is no fiction. He is no smooth talker. He is no invention of the minds of men. He is the real deal. And yet so much greater than just a man. In him is real hope. Someone who knows God, who has the authority of God, who can give life even to a wretched, guilty thief who is breathing his last breath. So for anyone who will turn to Jesus like that thief, that person too can have the assurance of heaven. They need no special religious acts in order to be received. God invites you as you are to come to him. Many of us who are here today have already taken that step. And so I want to encourage you, if you have not yet this Easter, then why not start afresh from today with a real assurance of your future with God? How? Well, be like that thief. Turn to Christ quietly and ask him to forgive you. Ask him to accept you into his kingdom. And if you will, like the thief, you will find that Jesus' word to you is that today you will be in paradise with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the impressiveness of Jesus that we meet in his suffering and death. That we don't meet a cardboard cutout figure, a flat figure. We meet a three-dimensional real person and yet an extraordinary person. Someone who goes beyond anything that we see in our world in the way he deals with people, in the way that he deals with his death. And we thank you that in Jesus we meet someone who has the authority, your authority, to forgive our sins and to assure us and promise us a place in paradise. Father, help us to turn to Jesus and to rest on him alone, that our hearts might find that assurance of sins forgiven and life eternal. Amen.